Welcome to the Ronnie Phillips Podcast. The message Pastor Ronnie shares today is made possible by the partners of Ronnie Phillips Ministries International. Help us continue to share this message around the world about how to live free and fully alive. Visit ronniephillips.org/partner to learn more. And before you leave, be sure and subscribe so you never miss a message. Now, here's Pastor Ronnie Phillips.
We'll be in Matthew chapter number 2 this morning. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests, scholars, teachers of the law, theologians, he asked them where this Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet," speaking of Micah, "had said, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and being honorable, they shared truth with him and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared to them. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him." Everybody say worship. "Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod," hit your neighbor and say, "Don't go back to Herod," "they returned to their country by another route." Father, anoint this word today. May you receive all the glory for the truth and the spirit that comes forth from your precious word and through your precious spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The word majesty is defined as sovereign power, kingdom authority, dignity, and royal order. We know here at Abba's House that Jesus didn't come to establish religion. He came implementing a new kingdom and a new way of life. He came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it and provide us with direct access to the Father through the Son. If you've seen the Son, it says in the Gospel of John, you've seen the Father. He came to create a new kingdom. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians and the book of Romans, you can have a little bit of heaven on earth now if you embrace King Jesus and all the gifts he has in store for you. One of those gifts being the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so we must understand the true nature of Jesus. He is the one worthy of all of our praise. He is the only sovereign and true and authentic king. And I was revisiting this ancient story of these astrologists and astronomers from modern day Iraq who, because of their education in the old covenant as well as a touch of mysticism, they were open to being led by a star to see the Savior of the world. It is an interesting story because sometimes It's the faith of shepherds and weird astrologists that leads us to a new season, and the political establishment as well as the religious establishment seems to miss what shepherds have seen, what wise men have traveled for, but yet God still fulfills his prophecies and his promises. This majestic star that would lead these astrologists all the way from Iraq to a stable in Bethlehem. I had a message prepared because I'm a preparation guy, and the Holy Spirit woke me up last night and showed me something in this text that I don't think I've ever seen before. It's been there, but I don't know that I've ever seen it before. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, you know what was different about these wise men? Do you know what made them wise? And then I began to look through my notes and what I'd prepared months ago and begin to pray in the Spirit, and God started to reveal some things to me. But I'll start with this question. How many of you would say, I would like to have more wisdom? How many of you would say, I would like for the person next to me to have more wisdom? Raise both hands. Come on, somebody. Amen. I don't want to get you divided around the Christmas season, right? But we would all like more wisdom, but there are some principles here that I don't want to fast forward through. Because how many of you have ever felt an urge to go a certain direction or do a certain thing that God has called you to do? It could be a business venture, it could be a ministry venture, it could be a relational venture, whatever it is. How many of you have felt that urge inside you? God wants me to go here. God wants me to do this. God wants me to sever this. God wants me to restore this. Hopefully, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, at one time in your life, you felt that urge, that nudge, that inner conscience to do something that God has called you to do. And hopefully, you've stepped out in faith and followed God in the midst of whatever season he spoke to you. But what happens when you feel that nudge, you obey God, and you end up in a stable? How many of you have ever followed God and thought it was going to be roses and candles and glitz and glamour and gold, and the next thing you know, you're in a stable surrounded by manure? You're in minutia that only this world can bring. And you look back at God, because I don't want to mess your nativity scene up, but there were more than three wise men. And Jesus wasn't a baby when they got there. We'll get to that. He was a toddler. It took them years to get there. But they get there and they followed this star by faith. Such a mystical experience. They did it honorably. They go to the king, Herod. They share with the king. Even though the king was evil, they still operated in honor. Told him what they were doing and why they were doing it. And then they get to a stable. Could you imagine? We've been following this majestic star to get to a stable full of manure. But what I love about these wise men is they had the ability to find God in the midst of a disappointing circumstance. They had the ability to see God in the midst of a stable. Come on, somebody. See, a wise person has the ability to find God in the midst of the minutiae we all go through in this life. They were wise because they didn't simply look at the outside. By faith, they kept their word because there was a king on the inside. And I'm telling you, there are times in this life where you have to have the faith and the ability to see God in the midst of disappointment. You know, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, but he never gave up on God. David honored Saul, but Saul tried to kill him, ended up in a cave, but he found God in the cave. Come on, somebody. David could find him in a cave. He could find him in a shepherd's field. Joseph could find him in a prison cell or a Potiphar's house. You can find God in the most disappointing of circumstances. Saul, that became Paul, found God inside of a prison and wrote most of our New Testament. We must have the ability to find God in the midst of disappointment. And in the midst of finding God, the next thing that made them wise was they were willing to give their best to God, even though they might have been disappointed at first glance. They gave their best to God. It wasn't about what they could get. You know, listen, I've done mission work. I love crusades. I've slept in huts. I've done it because God has given me a passion for missions. But my idea of camping is a nice hotel, right? With hot water, a good breakfast. I've paid my dues, but I'm just being honest. If I had traveled that far on something mystical like a star, I would have wanted some better accommodations than that of a stable. But I'm telling you, the blessing here is that it didn't stop what God had called them to do, which was worship His majesty, which was to give their best. Sometimes even in the midst of disappointment, you got to give your best. You've got to follow God. You can't look on the outside. You can't look through a worldly lens. You have to be able to look with your spiritual eyes and see what God may want to do. They had to trust their intuition. That's what made them wise. They trusted their intuition. How many of you know that if you're saved, God will speak to you? The Holy Spirit comes inside of you to dwell in you, and that Holy Spirit is trying to talk to you, and He's trying to talk to me. He really is. We have to listen to Him. We have to be willing to listen to Him. And what the Holy Spirit woke me up with last night is what made them wise was they didn't go back to Herod. You see, the word Herod, going all the way back from Julius Caesar, Herod represents religion and politics being married to one another. He was a cruel, power-hungry, narcissistic leader. He lied. Everybody say lied. He lied to these wise men and said, "Once you find the child, tell me where he is so I too can worship him." We know that Herod wanted him dead. Herod was so concerned with power and control, he would lie, deceive, whatever he had to do, because all he cared about was power and control. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was a threat to his power and control. He didn't like it. But what I love about the wise men, what the scripture says, is that they used their own intuition, and having been warned in a dream, they didn't go back to Herod. May I preach to you just a minute before we get into the worship of His majesty? Some of you need to make a decision not to go back to Herod. Come on. The Holy Spirit woke me up last night, and He doesn't do this all the time. I'm not one of those. My idea of a dream's blackness till I wake up. I don't, you know, I'm not Dutch Sheets. He's a hero of mine, but I don't dream all the time. God doesn't speak to me through dreams. He speaks to some of you through them. But last night, He woke me up and said, "You can't go back to Herod." And then I started, you know, doing some historical research on this Herod and the history of Herod and the cruelty and the narcissism and all these things. The enemy always wants to kill what it can't control. Religion always tries to kill what it can't control. The kingdom of this world is about political power. It's not about God's presence. The kingdom of this world is about who we can influence and who gives us affirmation and what kind of attention we can get. But all the kingdom of God is about his glory, not our glory. It's about his reputation, not our reputation. And that's who the kingdom of God is. But Herod represents demonic activity. You can't go back to Herod. Hit your neighbor and say, I'm not going back to Herod. You see, some of you have been through demonic attacks. You've opened the doors with some of your decisions. We all have you. But you can't go back to Herod. It's a trap. If God's opened the door for you, you got to keep moving, baby. You got to keep moving. Isaiah says, behold, I'll do a new thing. I'll make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God wants to do a new thing, but he can't do a new thing if you keep going back to Herod. You keep going back to that place of demonic activity and demons. It represents demonic activity. Everybody say demonic activity. It represents unnecessary drama. Why, after you've met the Savior of the world, and you've poured your gold and frankincense and myrrh, and you've worshiped with this family, and you know that God spoke to you, why would you go back under the law? Why would you go back under political control? Why would you involve yourself in unnecessary drama when you've been free from it? You see, you have to use discernment, God's people. Don't go back under something God has delivered you from. It's not that you're hateful, it's that you're grateful. It's not that you're bitter, it's just that you're better. Amen? It's not that you haven't forgiven, it's just that you've got bigger things to do than go back under demonic activity or unnecessary drama. Also, Herod represents divisive behavior. Double talk. And you have to be free from demonic activity, divisive behavior, and double talk. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And Herod wasn't the first or the last to try to kill Jesus. I love the play our children and adults have put on. They have a song called Kill Herod or Die Herod. It's good. I like it. Some of you need to kill Herod. I mean spiritually. You got to be free from that. Be free, my friends. Life's too short. I'm telling you, God has a purpose for you, and you don't have time for demonic activity, divisive behavior, or unnecessary drama. Rise above it. Eagles don't hang with gutter rats. And I'm telling you, if you'll rise above it and be who God's called you to be, he'll set you free. And why should you make a conscious decision not to go back to Herod? Because Jesus, number one, is the one true king. Everything we do, our goal in this life should be to give all praise and glory to him. On my best day, I don't compare to him. On your best day, you don't compare to him. He is Jesus, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that gave us access to the Father. He's the one that forgives us. He's the one that puts a new ring on our finger, robe on our back, shoes on our feet, kills the fatted calf, endorses a party for us, and has set us free. He cleanses us. He convicts us. He delivers us. He is the everlasting Father. He is the great I am. He's grace personified. He's healing that comes down for those who cry out for him. His love never fails. His mercy endures forever. He is the King of glory. Who is the King of glory? Lord God, strong and mighty. He is the one true King. This baby born in a manger went to a bloody cross, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. And they thought they were mocking him, but all they were doing is elevating him, because he was the one true king. He was the king not only of the Jews, but of all of mankind. And he would get up victorious 3 days later after they crowned him with that crown of thorns. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he lives, rules, and reigns. He's the king of creation. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king of the demons. He's the king of every aspect of humanity. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the one who saved me, the one who found me, the one who loves me. and the one who loves and gave his life for you. He is the King of all kings. He didn't need an election. He didn't need the government to affirm him. He didn't need people to pat him on the back. God sovereignly ordained him as king. Is he the king of your heart this morning? I pray that he is. Jesus is the only one worthy of our worship. He's the only one worthy of our worship. You will face disappointment in this life. You will be forced to take some risk if you're going to follow this one true king. You'll face betrayal as Jesus did, but he is the only one worthy of our worship. You may be in a stable, but he's still worthy to be praised. You may be in a 5-star hotel, he's still worthy to be praised. You may be in a crack house or an outhouse, he's still worthy to be praised. You may have $1 million in the bank, or you may be homeless today, he's still worthy to be praised. Amen. You may have blown it this weekend, or you may have lived righteous this weekend, but Jesus is still worthy to be praised. He's the one worthy of our praise. The one worthy of our worship. He's the one that the word was given to his people for. He's the word that became flesh. He's the one we celebrate during this season. A.W. Tozer, renowned theologian, said worship is the missing jewel of the church. The word worship, we've taught you this Greek word, proskuneo, means to kiss toward. It's intimate. And listen, I know we all worship in different ways. Some of you cry, some of you shout, some of you pray in the spirit, and you're free to do whatever you want to here, as long as it doesn't interfere with the main thing. That's the good news. But what I'll tell you is this. I'm not judging your worship, but ask yourself this question. Are you giving him the praise he is due? Are you giving him the worship he is worthy of? It'd do some of you some good to take a lap with Burt Gould some Sundays. You know, it really would. I know for some of you it's weird. Amen? Virgin birth's weird too for a teenager. But it'd do some of you some good just to break out of the way you were raised and just give God a shout of praise. Amen? Just give God a shout. Let go of those 45-pound weights and lift those hands up every now and then and just say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for preparing a future for me in glory. Lord, thank you. You are worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord. I'm not dead. Thank you for the heart attack I didn't have today. Lord, thank you that when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will lift me up. Lord, sometimes you just got to give him all the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. He is the only one worthy of our worship. He's the only one worthy of our surrender. Part of worship, proskuneo, this intimacy is surrender. You know, and I believe it's a lifelong process. You know, every decade or so, I could feel the Holy Ghost just cutting some pieces of flesh off me. How many of you can identify with that? He's just always cutting on you, always dying. You're always dying daily. He's always shaping you and molding you and teaching you some things. And if you ever feel like you've arrived, you're in trouble. You better hit the altar, because none of us have arrived. We're all a work in progress. And the ones who believe they have arrived to some kind of pedestal to judge others, get ready. Because pride comes before the fall. He's the only one worthy of our surrender. He is the king. If you are a Christian, he is your king. Which means everything that you need, you have access to because the king is wealthy. If you need resources, he's wealthy. If you need connections, he's got connections. Whatever you need, the king has access to whatever it is you need. You are an ambassador of his kingdom, 2 Corinthians 6, which means you're not supposed to look like everyone else. You're on assignment from the kingdom of heaven. You're supposed to look more like glory than you do humanity. We're supposed to talk more like glory than we do humanity. We are on assignment, amen. We represent the homeland and the local church, not just Abba's house. There are many good churches, but the local church is to be God's embassy, where we come in and we get a touch from the homeland, and then we go back out and we try to colonize the world and bring them into God's kingdom. This is a place where we get filled up to go out. Worthy of our surrender. The king is also our boss. If the king corrects us, we must listen. If the king disciplines us, we must take it. Sometimes we think we're the boss. The king is the boss. I remember I was my grandparents, Gladys and Rupert, when I was a child, they would always laugh at me and they would keep me quite a bit. And I used to tell my granddad that he was boss two, and Gladys, my grandmother, was boss one. And he'd get so tickled because he would say, "No, I'm boss one, she's boss two." I said, "Well, it's not the way it looks to me. It looks like Gladys is boss one and you boss two, granddaddy." If you knew them, man, they loved the Lord, but boy, they taught me how to cuss too. I'm telling you, they were awesome. That was the first time I heard cussing was Gladys and Rupert. Amen. My grandmother's birthday's on Christmas Eve, so I always think about her during the Christmas season, man. What a godly person. And I'm telling you though, he's worthy of our surrender. Next, he's the only one worthy of our generosity. He's the only one worthy of our generosity. Amen. You know, I believe we should be generous as a principle for living. We should be generous to the poor. That's biblical. We should be generous with our fellow neighbor, fellow man. Absolutely. But you'll never hear me say that nonprofit giving is the same as church giving. I believe we have 19 nonprofits and people who lead them right here in this church, and we partner with all of them, and they're all doing a fantastic job. But I still believe what the Bible says. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. I still believe what the book of Ephesians teaches, that it's a body, it's a building, and it's a bride. I still believe Jesus is not coming back for religion. He's coming back for the church. I still believe what the Bible says. And I believe sometimes we try to replace what God's word says with worldly things, such as social clubs and nonprofits, and all those are good things. But there's only one God thing. There's only one thing that he died for, and that's the local church. People may get mad about that. You take it up with the Bible. Because I still believe the greatest hope for not just this country, but humanity is the local church. I'm not talking about size. I'm not talking about mega, mini, or denomination. It doesn't matter if you're in a rural area with 20 people or you got 20 or 30,000 people in Dallas, Texas. I still believe our greatest hope lies in a church where Jesus reigns supreme as Savior and Lord. He's worthy of our generosity. These astrologists from Iraq, how many were there? We don't know. We think there are three because there were three gifts, but there were probably many more than that. Magi comes from our English word magician. Now, if some astronomers or astrologists reading their zodiac came to me on a Sunday morning and said, "I got a word, I want to prophesy over your church," to be honest with you, I'd probably say no. Because there's witchcraft involved in some of that. However, isn't it interesting that God doesn't ever go by our religious rules, does he? He never does. He sent a raven to feed Elijah. A dirty bird, which was not custom for a Jewish prophet. He could have used religion and starved to death, or he could have taken what God gave him through a dirty bird. Amen. Sometimes God wants to deliver you through something dirty. I'm preaching over your head now. I'll stop. Y'all aren't ready for that yet. Sometimes God will bless you through something that doesn't fit in your religious box. Sometimes God will give you a relationship that doesn't fit in your religious box because God's not in your box. When did they come to Bethlehem? As I shared, they weren't there the night he was born. It took years. He was a toddler. They came from Iraq. The ancient name was the Medes, Iran or Iraq. They worshiped the king. They worshiped him. You know, King Herod couldn't bring himself to worship him. But the shepherds found a way to worship him in a field. Amen. Elizabeth and his mother found a way to get in the Holy Ghost prior to his arrival. Amen. And these magi came and they worshiped him. They believed what the prophet Micah said. How many of you believe what the Word of God says? You got to believe what the Word of God says. What does that mean to believe it? It means you got to act on it and stand on it and fight for it. And let it lead you in your daily lives. They worshiped the king. Their worship was extravagant. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. They opened their treasures, their wealth. All of these things, gold, frankincense, myrrh in the Greek, were written in the aorist tense. This was a monumental act. And this act represented the fact that this was the beginning of the end of one covenant and the beginning of a new covenant. And Jesus would say on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And they worshiped as if it was already finished. That's why they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When's the last time you worshiped as if it's already finished? Well, I lost my job. It's already finished. Oh, I'm going through hell. I'm struggling in my body and in my mind. It's already finished. Amen. Oh, I'm dealing with guilt and condemnation. It's already finished. Oh, I'm suffering attack. I'm suffering struggle. It's already finished. Why don't we worship like he's already paid the victory? Because he has. It's finished. Amen. It's finished. It is finished. They opened their treasures. They gave their absolute best to God. I'm challenged by these men to give my absolute best to God. The gold represented his person and our wealth. Say that. His person, our wealth. The frankincense represented his presence and our worship. His myrrh represented his passion and our work. And these are the three ways we honor God and worship him: with our wealth, our worship, and what we do. Some can do more than they can give, and some can give more than they can do, but we can all worship. We can all worship, and God's calling us higher. Their worship, these wise men, were guided by faith in God's word. They took a prophetic word from Micah and they stood on it and allowed it to move them into a new season. The Bible must come alive in you, my friend, and it must move you to act by faith. It must move us all to act by faith. It was persistent. You know, in this TikTok culture we live in, we all want instant gratification, don't we? What if God calls you to do something that's going to take you 2 years to even see any fruit from what he's called you to do? You're going to have to march. You're going to have to sweat. You're going to have to face death. It's going to take you years to get there. See, we all want it now. Well, God told me yesterday, I want the victory now. We already paid for it, but he might move you in a direction where you got to strive a little bit. You got to walk by faith a little bit. Joyful worship. Worship that doesn't settle for this world's best. Amen. You know, we all worship. We don't all worship the same God. We don't all worship the same things. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, if the majority of your spending goes to recreation, that's your God. Ooh, it got quiet. If the majority of your compliments go to people, then people might be your God. Because what comes out of your mouth, the majority of that, those things that involve praise should be reserved for Him. What He's called us to financially should represent that He's first place in our life. He's not asking for all of it, even though He owns it all. He's just asking for 10% for those of us who are following Him. That's just a basic principle. And then we get into the work. You know, if we give 40, 50 hours to this world and we just give God what's left over, what does that say about our heart? I know you got to pay your bills. I'm not being religious here. But you can worship while you're working. Amen? Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? Don't go back to Herod. Don't go back to Herod. Some of you, the devil's tried to kill you. Why has the devil tried to kill you? Because you were a threat. You're a threat because you're anointed. You're a threat because you're blessed. You're a threat because you're taking territory from the enemy. And the enemy's going to try to kill what he can't control. But you're still alive. And some of you, you've been bound up by the devil. You're hurting. But I believe Jesus wants to save your life today. And if you're watching, or you're in the midst of a struggle this morning, you say, Pastor Ronnie, I don't know if I died today where I'd spend eternity. I don't know that I've ever worshiped. I don't know that I've ever put God first in my life. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need peace. I want to be at peace with God. If that's you, I just want you to pray this prayer with me. Abba's house, help me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me for your glory. If you prayed that prayer, I believe you're born again, you're forgiven, and you can now start that process of putting Jesus first in your life. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to have my pastors join me down here today. If you would, move into position. But if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, I want you to make a public confession of that. You say, why? Because Jesus said, if you'll not confess me in front of men, I'll not confess you in front of my Father. So simply put, this is your opportunity to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1. So if you prayed to receive Christ, why don't you come down? Also, maybe God's calling you to be a part of a house of grace, to come in covenant with His church. What does that mean? In the South, we call it becoming a member, which I really hate that terminology, but we still use it, okay? But really, it just means this is my church family. This is my covering. This is where I'm going to serve. This is where I'm going to give. This is where I'm going to be filled up in the embassy to go out and shine my light. And if you don't have a covering, you don't have a local church, we're opening the doors today. If you're shy, you can go to Next Steps. You can come down and we'll pray and one of us will walk you over there. Or maybe you need healing in your body or healing in your mind. Why don't you just start where you are and just give God your best? Maybe for some of you, you just need to worship Him like you've never worshiped Him before. When Rashonda steps up to lead us, why don't you just do something you've never done before? Maybe it's to kneel at the altar. Amen? Listen, I know your back hurts. Mine does too. Maybe it's to lift your hands for the first time. Maybe it's to pray in the Spirit for the first time. Step out and just be obedient to God. Would you stand on your feet, church? Whatever God tells you to do, we're here to pray for you, meet you right where you are. Just follow God in this moment. Let us worship Him.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Ronnie's message. Connect with us at ronniephillips.org and on social media. If this message has been a blessing to you, leave a comment or review wherever you're listening. You can invest in helping others live free and fully alive by giving at ronniephillips.org. Thanks for listening. Now go live free and fully alive.